Some conversations aren't meant for everyone. They happen between people who simply understand. Welcome to Ellis Adventures, hosted by Janet Valentine and Roger Johnson, exploring connection, curiosity, and the lifestyle that, if you know, you know. Featuring voices like Steve the Professor and Barb Triple E. Ellis Adventures. Play outside the lines.
Hi, this is Janet Valentine. Here's an oldie from our archives before we rebranded to Ellis Adventures. This is from Beyond Monogamy. Get you caught up on some of those stories.
Okay.
So, welcome back to the podcast. And if you haven't been here before, hang on to Beyond Monogamy. I am Janet.
And I am Roger Johnson.
And I'm here as well visiting. I'm, as they called it, Big Boo Barbie.
Big Boo Barbie. our special guest this week.
That's right. Happy to be here.
Good. Okay. So, Roger, how was your week?
Oh man, it was great. I'll tell you what's exciting is I had a friend reach out to me. She's a very close friend, and she up to this point she had claimed to be on the freaky side, and I think she learned how vanilla she actually was. She reached out to us claiming that she was making a trip to Trapeze. And for this story and for referencing it later, we'll call her Blondie. And in the most Andrew Dice Clay way to say Blondie, and she'll know what I mean because she's known for a few blonde moments. But anyway, her and we'll just a travel partner were making a trip to Trapeze in Atlanta, and she had never been, and she's like, hey, what to expect? And I'm like, well, I've never been either, which we're going to talk about. This is definitely on our to-do list. But, you know, I was explaining, hey, you know, this is a club and these people all do this. It's consent based. If you don't want to do something, just say no, thank you. And walked her through all that. And you know, just like anybody's kind of first trip in, the anxiety started building. And she was, while we were talking to her on video chat, she's prepping this outfit and doing all this prep and all this prep and all this prep. And I wanted to talk about party prep until I got her after story. So, so I assured her, and tell me if you disagree. I told her, I'm like, look, go in there, smile and have a good time. If you're standing against a wall with a little bit of resting bitch face going, you're not going to look available, and that's how you'll be perceived. But if you're just standing there smiling, people want to talk to you. They're going to be all over you because, as you know, if you're kind of a regular in this, we love when new people walk in. And she's pretty good looking. I just said, don't worry. If you're available, they're going to be all over you. And so, I mean, the night transpired how you would hope. Let's say that. The next day I said, okay, what are your numbers? Give me your numbers. And she's like, I don't even know. I know.
Well, that's when it's good.
That's right. She said, and she kind of tried to count it, and it didn't matter, but that's just me. Like, she started out with a couple, and you know, the girl was going down on her, and I don't know what happened to the girl, but the guy was banging her or her husband, but then another guy approached. And so I think she got a little bit of some spit roast points. And she actually said she was sore.
Oh, sore pussy Sunday.
And I'm like, oh, wait, you talk like this is new. I thought you were freaky. I thought you were. you're sore. Oh, isn't that nice? So you Mom had and I, fun.
We used to measure it in sore pussy Sunday, and then our numbers, and Barbie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, our numbers were not, you know, how many people you did, but how many people did you get to come?
Yeah.
Okay. It yeah. was.
The others didn't count. None of that.
Yeah, it didn't count. It did not count. It, so all nope. these guys out there that take that shot and bang you and don't come in you. Okay. Nope. Come on. That doesn't count. Now, Barbie's husband. Okay. Yeah. He comes in his own way. So that counts as a come as far as I'm concerned, if I'm doing my statistics.
Orgasm.
Orgasm. Right. Orgasm. Orgasm is what we want. I want numbers, orgasm, and especially the guy's orgasm. Come counts. How many people did you make come? How many people did you really taste? Because that's when you know. Because that guy, I know that you do this, Roger. You go into these parties and you want to save it until a certain point. Okay, so you'll be like, I'm going to do this girl, and I'm going to do this girl, and I'm going to do this girl, and then you try to plan when you're going to come. I get total power out of being the one that screws up your plan and makes you splooge all over.
I've always been able to recover pretty quick. And so.
Oh, yes, he has.
So, I mean, when it's good and everything's hitting, I'm going to come. And but you know, somebody mentioned Barbie's husband. I had it in my mind coming into this. I want to dedicate this recording of this podcast to Barbie's husband because of that. That is what led to Janet and I connecting in the best way possible, which is anal. And having had that story shared last week coming into this, I just want to dedicate us to that man and the great work he has done. I hope he keeps his work going because I enjoy it. Anyway, yeah. Barbie, how have you been?
I'm retired. Life is great.
Oh man. The subject of you came up, and I was just like, that just took me down memory lane.
Are you retired from the lifestyle too? Do you guys go to parties at all anymore?
We haven't been to a party in a long time. No, I had back surgery, so that kind of put a damper on a lot of things, but we are there in spirit.
Lots and lots of stories.
Well, sure. And then, you know, I moved into the cam model world. So I did that for quite a while. And that was really, you know, that was fun in its own right.
So, and Mandingo, who's listening here, you have also been in that cam world. I know that. So he may be vanilla, but he's vanilla with just a little stripe of chocolate every once in a while.
Yeah, man, when I had my list going, I probably had cam girl on there, but I wouldn't have thought to put, you know, 6 foot plus redhead with big ass titties. I mean. Sure, it would have been great, but I mean, how many of those are walking around? That's like a lightning in a bottle. Who can check that one? Oh, it was great.
I think what I want to talk about, that brings that up. Okay, so you have your list. I know that Barbie has a fuck it list that is by time zone or location. Is that correct?
Nationality.
Nationality. Okay, so she's got a nationality bucket list. I have an occupation bucket list. Okay, because like I have done a judge. I have done an FBI guy. I have done a sheriff. I have done a cop, a regular cop. I have done a fireman. I have done an ambulance person. I have done a doctor. I've done a lawyer. I've done a jockey.
A jock.
Jockey was a
not a web developer. Not one web developer.
So you're technically still vanilla. But we mean, so let me explain that term for those
jockey.
Of you who are outside of the lifestyle. Okay.
Oh my God, I just watched the Kentucky Derby.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine a jockey standing next to me being right. 6 foot tall when I'm barefoot.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm not kink shaming because a midget is on my list. So I am not kink shaming.
And anyway, I will tell this full story later because I did them in a club in Paris and they happened to have a pommel horse that you got on and he fucked me on the pommel.
That's fast.
Anyway, so I wanted to explain real quick vanilla. Somebody who's vanilla means that those friends are yours. They may be dirty-minded friends, but they are not in the lifestyle. Somebody who's vanilla is somebody who's on the edge, not in the lifestyle. You kind of look at it every once in a while, but they are. So when I see my friends are vanilla friends, it means that they're not in the lifestyle. I didn't meet them at the lifestyle, and they're not somebody that we play with. All the rest of my friends are the fun lifestyle friends, friends of LS, the LS standing for lifestyle. I think what I wanted to talk about is you kind of brought this up a little bit, Roger, is that one of my fondest memories with Barbie way back when I had first begun was she had said, we had signed up to go to a party and she said, let's go find you party clothes. And so I thought, okay, are we going to go get party clothes? So are we going to go to Frederick's of Hollywood or something like that? And we go to the mall. And even though there's a Frederick's in the mall, she's like, no. Let's go over to, I think it was Dillard's. Okay. She's like, Dillard's is the perfect place to go. And so we go to Dillard's and there is the rack of stuff that's on sale. And so she's like, try this on. And so I try on the top and she comes over and she's like, oh, we could rip this lace out of here and rip this stuff out of here and your tits will be shining. Okay. So it was all about converting regular clothes into party clothes.
Right? Access. Remember, it had to have access.
You have to have something that's easy on, easy off, and access. And yes. So I remember, I mean, we spent hours trying to find this stuff and she, like, I bought two or three different things and she's like, okay, this is great. And then we go down to our first party. And so typically when I say go down to or go to, you don't go to a party in your hometown, because if you go to a party in your hometown, you're going to run into somebody that you should not be running into, basically. And the town that I happened to live in for a while was a college town. And I knew that I would find college kids at this party. Okay. So don't go to any parties in your regular hometown. If you're going to go to a party, you got to travel. Okay. You got to travel. You got to get a hotel room for the night so that you can fuck all night if you decide to take somebody to your room or whatever. So we go to this place. We travel. It's probably 45 minutes to an hour away from where we're living. And we get there and I spend the anxiety move like you're talking about, Roger, with your friend. What am I going to wear? What am I going to look like? And I am stressing this out to the degree of just almost talking myself out of going to the party. And so I put on this stuff. I am not used to this access stuff. Remember, I'm the mom of five that is all of a sudden fucking around. Okay. I can't fuck somebody other than my husband for 24 years, you know? And so then it was like, okay, we're going to go to this party and do this. And so I put on this outfit. And the thing is, what you don't realize is when you go in and sit down, you are new meat and they know it. The people in the party know that it's a new person that's come in, especially the guys. They'll know, oh, it's a new woman that's come in. And so your first introduction to the ball, you are like the fuck Cinderella of the ball. Okay.
Oh, all the way. And nobody understands this better than gay guys, but go ahead. We'll talk about that in another podcast.
Yeah. Well, and so you walk in and then you realize after the first person comes and you go play, like I went and played behind a shadow wall and then I went and played. They had playrooms set up, but I went back to somebody's hotel room and played with them and then came back to the party. It didn't matter. Within 15 minutes, it didn't matter what I was wearing. Okay. Because it was off of me. It all depends on where the party is being housed. If the party is being housed in a hotel and they have to block it off and make sure no kids, no unknown guests get in. If it's a whole total guest hotel takeover, then you're fine. You can get naked and it doesn't matter. But if there are other guests in that hotel other than lifestylers, you have to be careful how much you're wearing on the dance floor or whatever. And then I've gotten in trouble several times.
Never.
Yes. But I think, and here's the thing is, maybe we should title this one, Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover. Because you'll say, okay, she's really pretty and she really looks good. I have seen really pretty guys, really hot guys that I think to myself, oh, they're really hot. What the? We'll call the one guy, his name was Jared. And Jared was, he was a white guy that was, you could tell he spent every day in the gym, 2 hours a day in the gym. And Jared comes to the party and he's got his, I can't even remember what female that was with him. And he was in a G-string, colored G-string thing that his body looked fantastic, right? And so I was fascinated with him. And he said, you want to go play? So we went to play. And he was a terrible fuck. He was a terrible fuck. All he was worried about was whether or not the hair on his head was going to get messed up, whether or not I liked the G-string that he was wearing. Dude, I don't care what color your G-string is. Let me see the dick behind it. Okay. This was where I was. And this guy was so self-absorbed that he didn't care if I came or not. And he did not care if I was enjoying myself. Okay. Contrast that with, I'm going to call the guy Steve Urkel. And I know that Barbie knows. She's laughing and smiling now. Steve Urkel is who I'm going to talk about, all right? Steve Urkel, I swear to God, could have been a double for Steve Urkel. That, you know, the guy with the nerdy guy that talked like this with the glasses and everything, right? Remember him, Barbie?
Oh, yes. He just didn't have the nerdy voice, but he looked just like it.
He looked exactly like Steve Urkel. And then when he spoke, he had this really nice voice that was just like, how are you today? And he would come over to you and you're thinking, I'm not going to do this nerd because he's not going to be any good at all.
Okay? And he was really short.
Skinny, short. Yeah. I mean, because like skinny guys, I don't like to do skinny guys because I get bruises from skinny guys. And I don't want to have bruises from the dude's elbows or whatever, because the skinny guys never know where to put their bones, right? So I don't want to do the skinny guys. I'm thinking, I don't know if I really want to do this guy. And somebody else comes up to me and goes, you need to do him. Just trust me. You need to get past whatever is in your head. And you need to take Urkel back to the bedroom and do him. Okay. And I can't even remember where we first met him. It was at a party. Maybe somebody brought him to a house party. I took this guy back to this bedroom and he rocked my world. Like he made me come. I came four times. And on the fourth time, I was screaming at him to put his dick in me because I was so fired up. I was so hot. There was stuff coming down and he was magical. No bruises. No, he knew where to touch. He knew the back of my neck. He was nuzzling it, the arm, the elbow, the kink in the elbow. He was doing that. He was kissing my wrist. He was doing, you know, Morticia French kisses all up and down, except for all the way down to the really fun parts. That man And I almost said boy because he looks like a boy. That man was the most awesome. And so
Do I know Steve Urkel? Do I know the Steve Urkel you're talking about?
I think you've met him.
Probably.
Okay. I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah. To do this justice and to do that man justice, he's got a bit of a baby arm. He is packing a weapon.
He is packing a weapon. There is no rhyme or reason for that guy having that.
He was not short bringing something good to the table. That boy had a
and know how to use it.
Know how to use it, right? And so, I mean, the contrast between Jared and Urkel was just amazing. Okay, it was night and day. And so I stopped. You know, that's why when I talk about the story about me doing Lurch and stuff, I was hoping that beyond that old man facade, there was something else. And when I did go to play with it, it was a dick. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and listen to the That Bitch and Lurch episode. Okay. That guy, when I took his pants down, he had a pretty decent dick. So you're still thinking I can make something out of this. But, you know, it was nothing compared to Steve Urkel. Really taught me the lesson of don't judge a book by its cover. I think this is also where there's not room for racism in the lifestyle. No. There's not. Okay, so I'll tell you that Marilyn was from a southern state. Okay, and she, when I first met her, her five boyfriends were all white guys. And then she told me that she was kind of embarrassed by the fact of how she was raised. You know, she was raised to be pretty racist. And so that she was afraid of doing an African-American, you know, a black guy. And so I had her come to a party and I had Urkel come in. And you know, if you're going to start with somebody, he is the most non-obtrusive, non-threatening person to do. Now, I have a lot of, so what they're called in the lifestyle is BBCs, big black cocks, okay? And you would not call Urkel a big black cock because he's not big. And yes, he's black and he has a cock, but so he was never in that thing of BBCs. And I had a couple of other BBCs that were very good and great to play with that were huge guys that were 6'2", 6'3", or whatever. But I figured the best way to get Virginia past this. Oh, sorry. I said Virginia. I'm going to start again. The best way to get Marilyn past this was for her to play with Urkel. And she played with Urkel and came back down the stairs and was like, I have been a total fucking idiot all my life. You just have to get past it. And she was, so she did that, but, he is that kind of a guy. And, you know, so
he is one of the most well-received single males that I've met doing this. I mean, people would vouch for him and he would get into parties and as they should, it was proper. And it was nobody ever regretted that. He just to you, what you said, he is a smooth operator. He was a master of his craft.
Yeah. He's a bluefish, which means that he's single. He didn't have somebody that he was attached to all the time, but he would get invited to the parties because you get these blue fish that you know are going to be respectful. You know they're going to only play when somebody really wants to play with them. They're not going to try. So what I mean by only be respectful is some blue fish get desperate and try to steal the woman away from the person they're with. So those blue fish that do that, they don't get invited again because that's not the spirit of the party. If you're there as a blue fish, you're there as an extra dick. That's it.
Yep.
You are not there to start dating one of the other people's wives or whatever on a regular basis. You are not there to get them to divorce their husband and hook up with you. That's faux pas. That's a faux pas for the lifestyle, right? So if there's a blue fish right. that starts doing that, but Urkel never did that. He never, his intention was always sex. Let's have fun. Let's all get along. Yep. And let me show you how it's done. And quietly he would do so. I had another friend she was visiting from down south. And it's easy because it's a big state, so I can say it. She was living in Texas at the time. And I had met her when she was in California. So you're like, Georgia, how do you meet all these people? Oh, sorry. All right. I gotta say it again. So help me out here, Mandingo. I said, Janet, how do you meet all these people in all these places? Well, because as I said before, we travel for business. We get on these C4P or SLS websites and we tell them we're out on the town. And then we stop in the different areas and play around with the different couples. I happen to have met this couple. And I'll call her Wanda. Wanda and her husband, we met them in California. Then they moved to Texas. And then Wanda says to me, I'm coming in your area. My granddaughter has a competition. Okay, this is when you're going. Okay, if the granddaughter only knew that you're coming up here to go to a party. So she says, I'm coming up here for the weekend. My granddaughter has a competition. I am so tired of the family. Can I do something with you on Saturday night? What are you doing? And I said, I'm going to a party. I have never been invited to this party before. And she says, can I come with you? And so I say, yeah, you can come. Let me ask the party people that are there. They're having the event. Can you come? And so we tell her. So we call the party people. We get permission for Wanda to come. And they said, can she bring somebody so that we have even numbers? For some reason, they wanted even numbers. So I called up Urkel and said, hey, do you want to come to this party Saturday night? I even have a date for you. It's Wanda. Now, Wanda's like the opposite of Barbie. Okay. She is short. She is redheaded. Okay. And she's just this little button of a thing. And she's just a hoot. Okay. And so Wanda, when we go to pick Wanda up from her hotel, Urkel is in the car with us. And Wanda, you can see on her face that she's worried about him. And she says to me, and he's sitting in the front, and Wanda and I are sitting in the back, and she says, I've never done a black guy before. And I go, oh, you have a treat coming. You really have a treat coming. And so she we go to the party. It's one of these parties, and I know that you know that I hate this, Roger. It's the first time and the last time I went to this party, where you go in and you put down your alcohol and your snacks that you've brought, and the people are wanting you to stand around and not go back and play right away. And they're wanting you to stand around and do small talk and get drunk together for half hour, 45 minutes or an hour. And I'm just peeved because I hate waiting an hour to fuck. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here for cocktail hour. Okay, you've got the beds set up in the back. Let me go back and play on the bed. I promise I'll say hi to you later or whatever, but let me alone. Okay, this is my party. And so they also said that you had to wear some nice things. So I was wearing some lingerie. And so we're all talking at the party, and the hostess stops. Now, my hubby, this is hubby two that's with me, and hubby two is being nice and sticking around Wanda because, you know, it's a new crowd. And so he's being the perfect guest, and I'm running around the room, and Urkel is running around the room. And the hotel, the person says, the party hostess says, okay, I want you to go and stand by the person you came with. And so I raise my hand and she goes, what? And she goes, oh, you're Georgia again? Or, sorry. She says, what? You're Janet again? And I go, yes, I'm Janet. And she said, what's your question? I go, well, I came with him. I came with him. I came with him. I came with him. So I go stand by.
He once turned down a meet and greet suite because the parking lot view was more authentic. He has never lost an argument in a hot tub. Some say dolphins follow his pontoon boat out of professional respect. He is the most lubricated man in the world.
I don't always use lubricant, but when I do, I prefer coconut slickums.
Crafted from the finest ethically massaged coconuts, coconut slickums delivers a smooth tropical experience worthy of poor decisions and unforgettable weekends. Couples report increased confidence, decreased friction, and a statistically significant rise in eyebrows. Scientists remain baffled. Neighbors remain suspicious. Women remain satisfied. Coconut Slickums, personal lubricant. For those who believe life should always glide smoothly. Stay slick, my friends. For more relationship adventures, wild stories, and adult conversations, visit ellisadventures.com.
I am basically guaranteed that I'm not going to get invited to this woman's party again because she does not think it's funny. Okay, everybody else thinks it's funny. And so he's like, you know what I mean. So I go over and I stand next to hubby number two, and Wanda's on the other side of us. And then Urkel's standing by himself. And so then basically she says, okay, it's 8 o'clock. So go ahead and go back and play. Well, this is also something about me that I've grown to do. I'm not wasting time taking the clothes off and having them take the clothes off. I just take my whole dress, yank it up over my head, put it in the bag, and head back to the bedroom. Okay. And Wanda heads back with me and Urkel heads back with me. So the three of us go back and start. And we just claim one of the beds. It was so fun. And what was so fun was he rocked Wanda's world. Okay, so that she was so happy. She was thrilled that the whole race of, you don't even see skin color. Skin color doesn't matter, okay?
No.
Even the size of the dick. It's nice to have a big dick, yes. And remember I said too small is bad. Okay, yes, too small is bad and too big is sometimes bad. But in the middle of this Goldilocks stuff, yeah, sure. He has a great dick. But more importantly, he has, I think I want to call it, instead of emotional intelligence, I want to call it sexual intelligence. He had sexual intelligence. He was very good at paying attention to me and paying attention to her at the same time. And he made her so happy that I was thrilled. And then the next time that I visited her in Texas, she had gotten over it completely. We were at a nude beach in Texas and there was a black guy walking along and she's like, oh, he is so hot. He is so hot. And I was like, yeah, Wanda, that's what Urkel will do for you. He will take the racism away.
Exactly.
Thoughts from the crowd on this one?
He had charisma. I'm just trying to spit out here and it's not coming together. I am associating what you said with these clowns that run around talking about pray the gay away. I'm trying to associate this with what you said so he can
Oh, fuck the racism away.
Yeah, I want to make it a little more catchy than that, even though.
There's no room for, so if there's discrimination in lifestyle, it's discrimination for the right reason. We discriminate against the guy who is a jerk to the servants. Okay. We discriminate against the guy who is a jerk to his partner. It's the fastest turnoff for me if he treats his partner, you know, it wants to do this whole I'm in command, I'm in control or whatever.
Tell she is doing it only because he wants to do it and she's reluctant. That is a big turnoff right away for him. I mean, I have no interest in doing him if she feels like she's, you know, has to get drunk or, you know, has to be forced into this. I mean,
the people who are getting the most out of this are the ones who will walk into an orgy room with zero reservations. And I think that's what I absolutely love about it. It is just, there is no judgment. There's just no anything. Everybody is just in the moment and impulsive. And it's okay. And if somebody says no, it's not no rejection. It's just no thank you. It's just no thank you, I need a break. No thank you, I just got done. Or no thank you, it's my first time. It's just that simple. It's not a rejection should make your dick go soft or anything. You know, it's just a no and you just move on because a girl laying next to her or on the other side, I've been there and a girl said, oh, no thanks. But the one behind her was like, oh, here, just come past her right here. And it's, like I said, it's just so in the moment. And if you have a high stress job and you want to go check out, I'm telling you, there is no better way to just check out and reset like an orgy room.
Well, isn't that the truth? That's true.
So I know that the rule is supposed to be that, you know, you can say no if you want to, but I am this personality. I don't like to say no. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And so I don't like to say no. So I will say stuff like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom or I have to, you know, go get something to drink. In Lurch's case, I'm sorry, I'm on my period. That's the fastest way to get him out of there. Hubby number two calls it. Just tell him you got to go take a shit and that'll stop it.
I'm good with no.
I just don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. So I just have, and again, I talk about the difference. So husband number one, we had a code word. And so when I started playing again with husband number two, I said, let's make the code word be Tuscany. Okay. And so we go out. And we visit, because who's going to say Tuscany in a sentence, right? And so
it's amore.
He's right. So we go and we meet this couple. This couple is, I don't know, probably 45 minutes away from where we were living at the time. And we go to meet them and they show up at the restaurant. It was a local restaurant, so of course I'm happy now. They show up at the local restaurant, and he reminds me of my father. He's wearing farmer jeans and farmer suspenders and farmer shirt, and he's got a beer belly, and he's a little older, and she's kind of cute. She's okay, and so we're sitting there at dinner, and I say to hubby number two, well, maybe we should, I wonder where I put that photo album of Tuscany, and he doesn't get it. And so we continue eating, and then we get finished with the dinner, and he says,
"It's with
to
all
them,
the other photo albums. What's your problem? Why are you bringing that up now?"
What he doesn't say anything. Basically,
I said Tuscany.
they invite us to come back to their farmhouse and check out their solar panels. I kid you not. Okay, and back to our farmhouse and check out our solar panels that are giving us free energy. And he says, "Okay, we'll meet you in separate cars. I'll follow you." So we get in the car and I say, "Hobby, I said Tuscany." And he goes, "What does Tuscany mean again?" I go, I said, "I don't want to do it." Okay. He goes, "Well, why don't you just say, I don't want to do it at the dinner table?" It's like, "Janet, why couldn't you just have said that?" And I go, "I didn't want to embarrass them. I did not. I wanted to have them save some grace and stuff." He goes, we'll call them up and tell them you have a headache." And so, again, remember, the whole gift that husband number two has is to get me past the covers, the labels, looking at people, figuring out, you know, just it's sex, damn it. It's just for one night. Okay. And it's not like you're going to lock down forever with them and we're going to be forever friends or whatever. So I was like, okay. And in my head, I said, "All right, let's do it." So we drive to this house. We get situated in the bed. They have a big bed. He's going to town with her. And this guy tells me that he has to have a paddle on his balls to make him come. And at this point, I'm like, "What? Okay, you have to have what?" And he's like, "I got to get out this toy." And he gets out this vibrator thing that looks like a paddle that you would put on somebody that you're trying to resuscitate. Okay. It's like a paddle. And he plugs it into the wall. And for those of you who don't see, Barbie is just making the motion like of the paddle on her chest going, oh, yes, that's where I was. "Oh, please don't put this on me. I'm not into pain." And he puts this thing on his balls, plugs it into the wall, and turns it on. And I have never seen a dick get so hard, so fast. Then when this thing shakes his balls, all of a sudden the dick gets big and he fucks me. And I'm like, "Okay."
Whatever works.
Right, whatever works for you.
And I just picture hubby number two looking over at him going, "Oh, you've been to Tuscany also."
And it took years for me to learn from husband number two that if I really didn't want to do somebody, just to say you don't want to do them. I mean, I hear it. Okay, so Barbie used to do this to me all the time. She would tell me the same thing. You would tell me, "Okay, Janet, if you don't want to do it, just tell them it's not for you. Sorry, you're not for me." And not worry about their feelings. You are not here to make their life better. You know, you're here to make your life better. It was so hard for me to learn that. And I didn't, you know, it took me 15 years to learn to say no.
Yeah. No thanks.
I so relate to that. D is the same way. We could just have a locked solid plan with a real easy code word and you know, Red Robin, and we could be at dinner and your bird feeders did the Red Robin come in today? "We've never had a Red Robin. What are you talking about?" "The Red Robin! Red Robin! Red Robin, goddammit!" She's the same way. It never worked. So here, let's pivot this. And I want Big Boob Barbie's input on this. And so, speaking of needing to shit at a party, so Janet, what is you're going out to a party, and what is your preparation ritual?
Oh, okay. So the preparation ritual on this is don't eat for that lunch or dinner that day anything with beans, chili, lots of vegetables, cabbage, none of that stuff, okay?
Not bad advice.
That's right. When you go to these things and it's a potluck. They usually have a potluck set up in somebody's house and somebody will have a chili. It's like, what the hell are you thinking? So I will, I would soak in the bathtub. I would make sure that I wasn't eating very difficult. I ate a lot of fruit for the day, something with a lot of liquid, watermelon, because for some reason, guys really like it when you soak. And if you have a lot of liquid inside of you, it's easier to come out. So I would that day, I would make sure that I ate a lot of fruit. I would shave. I'm at the point now where I have my own personal shaver. Our COVID couple, his kink is he likes to shave pussies. And so he is my barber.
That's fantastic.
It is. And because like this guy is really well educated and he has a really high level job. And he says, my next job, I'm going to open up the pretty kitty type face. So got to shave your legs. Got to shave all that stuff because your little knob is not going to get licked if it takes a lot of weed whacking to get to it. Okay. So if there's a lot of bush, there are very few guys that like a lot of bush there. And so if they have to go on a safari to get to you, in my head, I feel bad about it. So I will shave. Now I don't like, so hubby number two tells me, he doesn't like it when you shave completely off the top because it reminds him of doing too young of a woman. And he doesn't like it. It gives him a bad turnoff feeling. So I learned this. I always have, sometimes I have a lightning bolt. Sometimes I have a triangle. Sometimes that, it depends on what we're playing with. All right. So I will groom that. And then if I think that there's something, so as you've said before, Roger, people know that I do anal. And so because they know that I do anal, I try to make sure that whole passage is clear. And, if that means doing the enema or doing whatever it is I need to do to clear that out, I understand that. And so I will do that. If I have the time, then I'm going to give myself an enema because I don't want to be worried about whether or not you're packing some fudge up in there. I don't want that to be an issue. I want to feel clean and I want to feel like inviting. And so I used to clean it with toothpaste and I had a great, and this is a story for another time because Barbie knows him too. I had an OBGYN that when I told him that's what I was doing, he said, stop it. And he said, that's the worst thing to do. He said, if you want to do something, you might try coconut oil with a little bit of mint, peppermint in it, but you're abrasive. And so I am now on the coconut oil train with a little bit of peppermint in it to make myself feel loose. And as I've gotten older, and you're not there yet, Roger, with D, but what happens to us wonderful ladies as we get older is we don't have as much liquid. So I carry around with me when I do go to parties, and I'm going to go to a party this Saturday. I'm semi-retired, about once or twice a year I'll go to a party, and I'm going to one this Saturday. I will bring the coconut oil with the peppermint mixed into it, and I will carry that around. And then I have some great friends that are also at the party, and us ladies know that this is the issue. And now we will run around and lube each other up as we're in the middle of play, because that's what good older friends do for one another.
Yes, yes.
There you go. That'll tell you what level of party you're at. Well, and just as for all that prep on the backside, that's why we dedicated this to Big Boob Barbie's husband. So, yes. But so, Barbie, let's go. What was your party prep routine?
Well, I too had lots of vaginal dryness, and maybe that was why I would ride on Janet's board. You know, enough with the licky licky. Let's get the dicky dicky. Because I would put up these suppositories up there that are lubricating. And so I felt bad, like, oh, some guy's going to get a whole mouthful of, I don't know what that tastes like. I don't know what it is. It was a slow melting, you know, it really helped when you're at a party. But anyway, my preparation was always very similar to Janet. I mean, except I would always spend time on trying to figure out what to wear. I have body issues. I have scars, things that are more in my head than probably people see on the outside. But so I would always have specific wear. I always had a garter belt that covered my belly because I have a couple, like I said, big scars there, and I've had children. And I would try to find the right outfit for the right party. I always wore thigh highs. I loved dressing up. I loved putting on makeup and getting your hair ready. And those are the things I really liked. Just in general, I always felt like if you made yourself look the best you can and your spirit is all about, let's have a good time, you know, then you just attract people and you just, yep, you just have such a nice time. You just have such a good time. It's really been an amazing journey. Yeah. So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking about your orgy comment, and this is kind of a little sidebar.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because let me tell you, many, many years ago, we went to Las Vegas, and they had a club that you had to meet ahead of time, and then the people would say, okay, and you had to buy a membership, and then the club was actually in a house. The house had been converted into doing nothing but these gatherings, and they had private rooms, and they had a public room, and they had a bar, bring your own bottle. It was just really phenomenal. So we went the first night and, you know, still kind of new, feeling things out. And we had met another couple. We had done what Janet had mentioned and, you know, out on the town kind of thing. And they were really nice people. We met there. We played with them in a private room, had a great time, had such a great time. We said, we're going back the next night. Went back the next night, and I think something came over me. I couldn't wait to get in that public room. I had the time of my life. There was something about the freedom of everybody just having a good time. It didn't matter, you know, they could be playing right next to you. There was a woman in the swing with a whole fleet of fellas around her. It was, and when all I did was lay down on this mat that they had, this big mattress. And I mean, it was the best time. There's some abandon. There's, like you said, if you have a stressful job or something, or just life in general, I think it's just the complete abandon and freedom, and damn it, it really feels good. So
those are all good points, and that's just exactly it. And because of what you said, now when we go to parties and they've got a kind of a more public room, we just nearly won't connect with a couple to meet at that party because I'm going to that party for something else. I'm not meeting you at that party. I'm meeting a lot of people at that party.
Right.
So when we were going hot and heavy, this my prep routine's kind of slowed down and refined a little, but when it when we were going and we found our groove and it kind of became a sporting event, my prep would start kind of just days in advance. And when people asked, and at one time we ran a kick group, and when there was a party coming, I would start putting these prep tips out in the kick room, and everybody got a kick out of it. But at 4 days out, I'd tell people, start taking vitamin C in the morning and in the night. It's time to beef up that immune system coming into the weekend. So I would hit the workout routine fairly hard and I would do chest and arms on Friday. I would eat regular, like you said. And then coming in Saturday, prep wise, it would only be to kind of, at the time I was tanning a little bit. And so I'd go, if I did a workout at all, it'd be very light, maybe just a cardio and stretching and just to keep a routine going. But I'd hit the tanning bit and then I'd come home, take a nap, and I'd just kind of graze through the day. Nothing real risky. I mean, you don't want to be at a party and have gas. You don't want to have bubble guts. You know, are you going to be in a group room and somebody slip a fart? We're all human and it happens.
It happens. People have to get
it's
over that.
Funny. It's fucking hilarious.
And of course, there are pussy farts.
Yes, we call them quaffles. Quaffles.
Well, that's a sound of victory.
Yes. But, so when you hear quaffles, it's victory. And even when you have somebody who lets go of a fart in the middle of stuff, that's victory because they were trying hard to hold it in and something happened and they could not hold it in.
I would stress to the men listening to this that if you're a woman listening to this and you kind of hoping to get into it as a couple, have your man listen to this and listen to what I'm going to say. And if you're a man listening, listen to me. If you've gone through your life and haven't done this and are kind of just venturing in, regardless of your reason, it's okay. It's time to roll back in some self-care. Start taking better care of yourself. Watch how you eat. Watch and go get some new clothes. Go in feeling good about yourself. You know, pay attention to what women like and don't like. If just slapping ass is your thing, there's girls that are going to love it and there's women that aren't going to love it. And I can't, you, if you want to enjoy a piece of the ass, I promise you, do not slap a girl on the ass that doesn't like it. That'll ruin it. And nothing just kills my vibe more than not being able to finish the race. So you need to be really receptive about what turns women on. And if the girl's not for you, some women just, they don't want to kiss. I like to kiss, but some women don't want to kiss. They'll blow you and then just want to bend over and you just rail the shit out of them. And so now tell me why not kissing's a problem if that's what the girl wants. I've never been able to make that connection when I hear some people say that. So, you know, but you got to take care of yourself. This is, you have there's a whole nother world outside of anything you've ever known doing this. And it's worth it.
I'm but waiting for you go to ahead. Give the tip. So give the one tip. And I said this to my first husband and got in big trouble for saying it to him. If you have a smaller appendage, okay, you have got to mow the grass so that we can see it. It shows up better. It makes it look bigger. At least mow the grass there. Get it down because nothing is worse than doing the blowjob. Okay, yes, the one is the cat hair one, but going down to the bottom and getting a bunch of curly hairs and having them shove up into your nose, and you have to sneeze while you're doing the blowjob. Okay. Do you understand? Curly hairs make me want to sneeze. Get rid of the curly hairs.
let me translate that for you real quick. Manscaped, motherfuckers. Manscaped. God damn it. Manscaped. Hey, if you want to contact us, my email is fitroastwithus@gmail.com.
Right. So
give your you a email tutorial.
Right. So, and again, if you want to contact me, my email is thejanetvalentine@gmail.com. And as always, please like this, like wherever you're hearing this podcast, and then please tell your friends, because the more people we get listening, the more guests we'll have and the more fun we're going to have. We don't get paid to do this. It is not scripted. Mandingo is doing this out of the generosity of his heart. Maybe someday I'll get him some tips. We'll set up a tip jar. But
I just hope it gets him laid. Not that he doesn't get laid already, but you know, two is one, four is two.
it makes him excited to do this, and I'm very happy, but I don't want to take advantage of him. So this will be the podcast for this week. And I know that we have lots more to talk about, and I can't wait. If Barbie wants to come back and talk, we have so much stuff to talk about.
We're going to talk about her boobs next time.
So much.
Her boobs.
We're going to talk about her boobs.
Okay. We'll talk about her boobs, because she's the one that taught me, when you get the divorce, get yourself the boobs, that you earned it. And that's what I did.
And she did. And hers are spectacular. Spectacular.
I agree. Yeah,
we'll see you guys and hopefully do this another time again. Lots of fun.
Always.
You've been listening to Ellis Adventures. Not everything needs to be explained. Follow, subscribe, and keep the conversation going. Ellis Adventures. Play outside the lines.